You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who thinks chickens dream of one day being pot pies, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, folks. Hey, you made it. It's Friday night in Wisconsin in December. Got a little bit of snow coming down. The trees are lit up. It is festive and beautiful in our state tonight. Welcome to Nightlight. It is great to have you. We've got a great show planned for you tonight, hoping to end your week off with a good note here. And when I say good note, that does not mean Conrad is going to sing. Conrad, how are you tonight?
You don't want me to sing?
Well, you can. I mean, we do comedy on the show, so I guess that would be okay. But, it would be great, though, if you had, like, this amazing, if you sang like an angel. And I don't mean to be, like, cynical, but something tells me you're not a good singer. But please, by all means, if you can prove me wrong, you are welcome to do that.
You know, I was always, the worst person in choir class, so.
I'm impressed that you took choir class. At least you tried.
Well, it was either band or choir, and I took choir.
See, that's gutsy. Because you're putting yourself more out there when you sing than when you play an instrument.
You know why I did it, though? Because all my friends were in choir.
Okay.
So I did it, and then I didn't do any in high school, but I did it in it's eighth grade, and we had to do one of them.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's some nice pipes.
Yeah? All right. Sounds like you're kind of a follower, though. That surprises me. I pegged you more as a leader.
Yeah,
but,
well.
But that's all right.
I'm doing good, though.
Nothing wrong with that.
We had some nice drives today.
You parlayed your singing voice into a radio gig, which is good.
Exactly.
Hey, that was the first time. Okay, Conrad and I have been working together for 2 years, folks. But last night was a first in our friendship / work relationship. And Conrad was in my car. I gave Conrad a ride back to our hotel because he Ubered it. You Ubered it. It was like an hour Uber. It cost you $1,000.
Yeah.
But I got you back. I saved you some money on the way back.
Yeah, I was just, I don't know if you saw my foot. I was on the brake the whole time,
What was that, like a driver's ed car or something? We got a ride back to Civic Media from Jenna after the screening last night of The Godfather of Green Bay, which was lovely. We'll share some details in just a moment. But this is a Friday edition, folks, and we've got great guests tonight. This is going to be fun. We have packed, we got five guests, Conrad, right?
Correct,
okay. So we've got five guests, and it's going to be insane. I don't think have we ever had five guests before?
I think this is a Nightlight first.
Oh, man, it's going to be insane. We'll figure out a way to get through it, though. I'm going to tell you who the guests are in just a moment. But right now, before we do anything, we're going to try to get that text line jumping, get some blood pumping here on a Friday night, because we've got our text to win contest. Ladies and gentlemen, it is our grown-up, multi-state text to win contest here at Civic Media. And we could put $200 in your pocket today. How do you feel about that, folks? Who doesn't need $200?
I do.
Look, I'm loaded, and I could still use $200, right? What do you got? What are you, like a thousandaire? You probably got $1,000 to your name, right?
Dollarair.
Okay. So Conrad could use $200. He can't play, though, but you can. All you need is the app, folks. And you just text in the keyword I'm about to give you in about 2 minutes, and you can get the ball rolling. Hopefully, we can put a couple $100 in your pocket, and in doing so, you'll be automatically enrolled for our three grand prizes of our adult, it's a grown-up contest. It's a grown-up gift list.
Correct.
These are not for kids. So bear in mind, and you'll know why when I tell you what these gifts are. A brand new snowblower, which, let's be honest, it looks like we're going to need it this winter. You always know we're in bad shape when snow starts coming down and it's not even forecast. That's bad.
Yeah, yeah. It's done that actually the last couple nights, I
exactly.
feel like.
Exactly. It's terrible. I hate it. All the more reason, one of our grand prizes is a brand new snowblower, a stainless steel cookware set, or a portable air conditioner. So lots of fun there, folks. And you will, maybe you win $200 and one of the grand prizes. It's fantastic. All you need is the app to play. and text in the keyword that I am about to give you momentarily. What is the date today, Conrad?
Well, it's Friday.
Friday the 5th. It's been a long week.
Yeah.
It's been a long
week.
Yes,
it is.
All right, here we go, folks. Tonight's hour one keyword here in the 5 o'clock hour is cheer, C-H-E-E-R. Cheer, C-H-E-E-R. Do you notice a theme to these words? They're sort of seasonal, holiday related.
Festive.
Yeah. So that's our hour one keyword, cheer, C-H-E-E-R, folks. Go to town, win yourself some money and an adult gift, a grown-up gift, if you will. And good luck, everybody. I hope it pans out. So let's go over our guest list tonight. I almost said our gift list. Let's talk about our guests because this is going to be fun. We've got right out of the gate, Susan Kaya Sluster. She will be here at 5:35 from the Wisconsin Historical Society. She is the director of the Southwest region, which includes Villa Louis. A really cool event is happening at Villa Louis over the next couple weeks. Susan will be here to discuss the event. A beautiful site, one of 12 that the Wisconsin Historical Society has, an outstanding organization. Susan will be here at 5:35 to tell us how you can be a part of their really cool event coming up this weekend and next. At 6:10, Ezekiel Drews will be here. He is the founder of the Milwaukee Independent Film Awards, a very cool and brand new festival. It's only their second year. And Ezekiel has built this thing from scratch. He's had a lot of help, but he is a mover and a shaker, and he's also a very fine actor. He'll be here at 6:10. And then WGBW afternoon host Eric Westfall will be here at 6:35. Eric's going to tell us about a play he is in that you can see. Are you a live theater guy, Con? Do you go to see live shows?
I don't often, but I don't mind it. You know, it's a lot of fun to go to some of those shows.
It's so, to me, like I've said this before, last year, we went to see Frank's Christmas show, Frank Herman's, and it just totally, I took my wife and two kids, or they took me, and it just put us in the mood. The Meyer Theater is so beautiful this time of year. The show was great. Eric is going to tell us about A Christmas Carol. He's in A Christmas Carol. He plays Bob Cratchit, and we'll get the lowdown on that as well. Another Christmas classic, but I encourage people to go see live theater this time of year. It really does put you in the Christmas mood. And then at 7:05, do we know if Mike's coming in or calling?
I'm not sure.
We will take Mike any way we can get him. He is our Civic Media Sports Authority, but we're going to talk a little Bears-Packers with Mike at 7:05. And then it is also, if that weren't enough, it's a Bar Band Friday night. Terry Barr will be here at 7:35. Bringing the new tunes. She is our Wisconsin music expert and one of the award-winning co-hosts of the award-winning Max Inc. Radio on WMDX that airs every Saturday night from 6 to 9 in Madison. And you can also catch those podcasts at civicmedia.us. Outstanding show. Outstanding person. Terry will be here. There you go. 5 guests. That's like 3 nights worth of shows. So there you go. But it's going to be fun. I'm excited to talk to everybody tonight. It's going to be a lot of great conversation here. So join the fun, folks. Text us what's on your mind. If you have a question for a guest or an opinion, please feel free to chime in. And we also have an excellent question of the night. All right. So last night we had this. I thought I was done talking about this screening, but apparently I'm not. Because last night I want to thank everybody who came out last night to the Atwood Music Hall in Madison. We had a screening. It was the 20th anniversary screening of my film, The Godfather of Green Bay, sponsored by Civic Media, the WMDX Morning Show, John and Gordy, and Downdrin's Distilling. We packed over 100 people into the Atwood Music Hall, and what a great venue that is. I don't know if you guys have been there, but check out shows at the Atwood Music Hall because it is so, like, quaint. They can fit like 300 people, but the way they have the chairs set up, it was just like the perfect venue because it looked packed and it was such a great crowd. And I had a lot of old friends there. Some of the listeners were there. It was fun to meet you guys. I really appreciate you coming out, and the movie went over really well. There were some big laughs and some great socializing afterwards. And what a great venue that was. Conrad was there taking pictures. Did you get some good shots?
There are some great shots. I wasn't the only one taking pictures, actually.
I'm not accusing you of anything.
Lot of us took some good pictures, and I think it was a lot of fun, and getting to see that movie and on the big screen
with an audience, which is how comedy should be viewed.
Exactly. There were some laughs, and It was just a lot of fun.
Because I ask you, and here's the difference an audience can make when it comes to comedy, folks. When Conrad first watched that movie, I said, so you watched the movie, and he said, yeah. Yeah.
I did. I watched it by myself.
You watched it by yourself. And it's not the same. No. It's like with a crowd last night. And people packed in there on a very cold night. So it was extra special shout-outs to everybody that was there because it was a tough night to leave the house.
I got to say, just I told you this last night, and Mike Siegel was on the show last week, and it was just hilarious to see him. Or he was on this week. He played that character so well in the movie.
He did. You know, it's interesting because I had four of my good stand-up friends, Steve Segrin, Mike Siegel, Jimmy Pardo, and Mike Toomey. They've all been on the show. A lot of you guys know them separate of this show too by their works. But Mike, you know, when you're working with a producer who doesn't know my friends and he's like, okay, what is this? Just you're going to cast all your friends and this is the Pete Fest with all your buddies. So I had to pick and choose. And initially, Mike was going to play a different role. We had a guy to play the driver character, Tony Goldwyn's driver, who broke his ankle playing basketball, and he couldn't do it. So I said, all right, let's move Mike to that. I know Mike's going to do really well, and he was twice as funny as the other guy. It was like a happy accident because you're right, he was so funny. And when Tony Goldwyn walks into the towel dispenser and stares it down, and then Mike gives it yeah, he was great. So it was a really fun night. Thank you again to everybody that came out. Thank you to Downdrin's Distilling. And thank you to all the civic media people that were there. Too many to name. It was a nice show of camaraderie there, and I'm deeply touched. So thank you very much. And I saved you a grand driving back to that hotel, buddy.
Yeah, you did.
And you never even chipped in for gas. You didn't even, like, offer.
I told you I'm a dollarer, so...
I'm not going to shake you down for money. All right. I think it's time we get to our nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Here we go. What is your favorite buddy movie? Did I get that right? I sent that last night. That's the question, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what is your favorite buddy movie? I got one. Mine's Midnight Run. Charles Grodin, Robert De Niro. Very funny, touching, great story, at times suspenseful. One of those movies that is damn near, in my opinion, flawless. And I saw a texter, I haven't read the whole text yet, mentioned Dumb and Dumber, and that's a great one too. But 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know what your favorite buddy movie is. You can also text us on the app right after you send in the keyword. Text us your favorite buddy movie. Or if you're watching the radio on the stream at YouTube, Facebook, or X, you can drop us a stream comment and we'll read it on the radio. You got one, Con?
Yeah, I said anything with Kevin Hart and The Rock.
Oh, God. Everything with you is Kevin Hart and The Rock.
No, that was just me joking.
I can't tell anymore because that's your go-to joke. And I think you're joking, but I think you owe the listeners an explanation.
No, I actually do like some of their films. Some of them are okay, but Jumanji, them together, and that is hilarious. But
yeah.
My actual favorite, I'll tell you after the break.
Well, tell me after the break. All right, we got a nice little message, too, coming your way from Sturgeon Spirits, too. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. That's good. We don't want to go crazy with the Christmas music already. Because I love Christmas music, but I don't want to be sick of it by like December 9th. Right?
I'm already sick of it.
Are you really?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'm sick of the weather. We've got weather outside, and weather is starting to piss me off.
You
it's
know
only December 5th. My God.
I don't think it's just, it makes it worse that it's snowing, but it's just how cold it is right now.
Yeah, but it's not as bad. Like yesterday was horrible.
Yeah.
Like in Madison, I could not believe how cold it was. It was insane. But I can do one or the other. I could do snow or I could do cold. But if it's going to be crazy cold, I don't want ice on the roads. I want to be able to walk.
Yeah.
And if there's going to be snow, I want it to be at least in the 20s.
So you don't get the ice. Yeah, I get that.
I can't do both, right?
It's awful. I don't know. I don't know if you're going to get that.
You don't sound very confident in your Conrad weather forecasts. We've got some Bear Packer talk. The game is getting close, dude.
Yes.
And you know what was fun last night? In the Godfather of Green Bay, there's a whole Bear Packer thing happening.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a fun talk about that in the Q&A last night and a little bit before. So that was fun. Now we got the actual game. Mike Clemens is coming in to discuss it. Conrad and I will discuss a little bit. It's nice to have, we've got some, see, this wouldn't be fun. If you were a Bear fan, it wouldn't be as fun. Or if I was a Packer fan, this is like a little bit of a tension here.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
So this is exciting, folks. You're listening to Nightlight, of course, with Pete Schwabe. And now, are you listening, Conrad? Because I'm going to give you a recipe you can go home and make.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. This is the perfect time to highlight our new addition. I love this segment, our cocktail of the week, and it's courtesy of Sturgeon Spirits. This week, their featured cocktails are, get ready for this. You might want to write this down, folks. A chocolate-covered cherry martini and Christmas orange. Those just both sound amazing already. Here's a recipe to make yourself a chocolate-covered cherry martini. Now, I've had a chocolate martini. I think I've had cherry juice in some form in a martini. I've never had them together here. So this sounds really cool. Add 1.5 oz of Oak's Chocolate Liqueur, a collaboration between Oak's Chocolate and Sturgeon Spirits. 1.5 oz of Door County Cherry Vodka. 1/2 oz of Vanilla Vodka, a splash of grenadine, and a splash of cream. Shake well in a martini shaker, then serve with a cherry as a garnish. Now, there's two drinks here. I think I would go with that one, but you tell me what you think.
That martini sounds so good.
Martini sounds great, but here's another one. This is the Christmas orange. To make the Christmas orange at home, take 1 oz of blood orange gin, 1 oz of mocha liquor, 1/2 oz of triple sec, and 1/2 oz of orange juice. Serve in a 6-ounce rocks glass over ice. Or even better, stop by their tasting room in Oshkosh and mention our show Nightlight to get $1 off this month's featured cocktail, or stop in Friday and grab a slice of pizza from Chef Gus. I think I have pizza too. I didn't know that. That's Sturgeon Spirits, local flavor mixed with a little creativity. Carl does an amazing job there. What would you go for?
I'm definitely going with that martini. Well, I'm just not much of a gin fan, I'd say. But
yeah,
I've had a key lime martini. I was in Florida like 2 years ago or something like that.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
And that was the first martini I've ever had.
Really? So you haven't had like a full-blown plain martini yet?
Not a plain one, but you know, those sugary ones, those ones that taste like dessert?
Yeah.
I've had those. And
you
they're
do
just,
vodka.
They're dynamite.
So vodka?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't, here's my problem, is I started with the dirty martini. I do like half dirt. I'll say a martini, vodka martini. Half dirt.
You put dirt in there?
Yeah. Also known as olive juice. And I can't go back because I love olives so much. I can't go back to like my dad when my parents were young. He would just drink vermouth and gin or vodka. And I can't do that. I need a little something. Something savory in there. Salt it up a bit.
Okay. Okay.
But these are both great. So knock yourself out, folks. Have some fun with those recipes from Sturgeon Spirits. Great stuff. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite buddy movie? And Rita in the 608 says Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Great one.
Great one. We just talked about that at Thanksgiving. It's like the only Thanksgiving movie.
Yeah.
The most well-known, mm-hmm. probably. But a great buddy movie on its own. John Murray from Addison in the 608 says, so stupidly funny Ken Paxton and Kelly LeBrock. Oh, my God, fun and sexy. I don't think I know that movie. And then he elaborates, Weird Science. I know Kelly LeBrock was in Weird Science. That's great, John. Brett from the 920 says, a favorite buddy movie, Up in Smoke, Cheech and Chong, baby. Well done, Brett. Thank you, sir. Brett also says, I saw your movie on Tubi. Oh, I think he's referring to The Godfather of Green Bay. He says, I saw your movie on Tubi, and it was really good. I love the characters in the bar. When the skinny dude starts talking about deer hunting, I laugh so hard I peed a little. Well, I'm sorry about that, Brett. Brett says, but I'm 63. I dribble. Brett is frighteningly honest in his texts. Thank you for watching it, Brett. And I'm glad you didn't have to pay. It's even my movie, Brett. I could have got like a quarter of a penny if you went to Amazon. Maybe I wouldn't even have gotten that much. But thank you. I'm glad you got to see it. Rita from the 608 says, Rita was there last night. She says, I went to see your movie last night. It was so great. It made us laugh. I needed a good laugh. Thank you, Pete. You are very welcome, Rita. Thank you for braving the elements and showing up. You have no idea how much that was appreciated. So thank you. Rich Lacasio says, Smokey and the Bandit. You ever see that? That was before your time.
No, I've heard of it. Never seen it, though.
Burt Reynolds, Dom DeLuise, Jackie Gleason. Fun cast. I say Midnight Run. Janet, who was there last night too in the 608, says, I love you, man. I think she's talking about the movie, Conrad.
Yeah, Paul Rudd. That's such a funny film.
I've never seen it.
It's great.
Yeah, that's what I hear. I got to add that to the list. Daniel Wheeler, Danny Wheels says, too many to name, but I'll throw The Heat with Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy in the ring.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one.
I don't know if I saw that either. Sean Boyce, got to throw Tommy Boy in the mix. Phenomenal. And that's the most I've ever liked David Spade, isn't that movie?
Yeah,
I have a love-hate thing with him. But he's hilarious in that movie. Alan Martin says, does Some Like It Hot count? It absolutely does. Alan Martin from the Chicago area. And Chuck Gennaro, our civic media pal, Chuck, says Dumb and Dumber. Agreed, Chuck. Awesome choice. We'll get to more of your text coming up. We're going to do the news, and then we are coming back with Mike Clemens, right, Con? We got 18,000 guests tonight. No, it's not Mike Clemens.
No, not yet.
It's Susan. Yes. Susan will be here from the Wisconsin Historical Society. Coming right back, it's Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. All right. Time to light it up, folks. We have our first guest here, and our first guest of the night on this particular night is brought to you by Chicken or the Egg Photography. Chris specializes in food, event music, and product photography for businesses across Wisconsin and the Midwest. See what he can do for you at chickenortheeggphotography.com. Chris does great work, folks. Give him a chance. All right. I'm excited to welcome my first of many guests tonight. We're going to jump into some really cool, nostalgic holiday talk here. Compliments of the Wisconsin Historical Society, their director of the Southwest Regional Sites, and that includes Villa Louis, joins me now over the stream, Susan Kaya Schluster. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Oh, you're on the phone. You're not on the stream. My mistake. It doesn't matter as long as we can hear you. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. We actually just got done with our first day of teas, so we had a busy day.
You know, it's so funny you say that. That sounds so old-fashioned, and I love it. And I like tea. I don't know that I've ever been to a tea. So can you describe what a tea is for those of us? And I'm guessing there's a lot of people listening that have never been to a tea.
Sure. So this will be our third year of doing these Christmas teas. It came out of a way, idea I had to re-engage people who had been to our Christmas programming in the past, because to me, the Dowson Mansion, the home facility, it's beautiful, but I was thinking, like, how can we, you know, one-up this? And so we decided to host a tea, and while we can't host the tea itself in the mansion because of the documented restoration that we've been through in the collection, we host it in our 1851 Brisbois stone warehouse. So it's a beautiful building, and we decorate it with fresh greenery for Christmas. And we are in period costume. We are dressed as cooks, servants, as you may. And we have two different teas that we serve, and we have a variety of finger foods and delicious treats going off of different menus of the time period. We don't know exactly what Mrs. Dowson would have served if she had folks over for tea. And then this year, to change it up a little bit, since it is our third year, we decided to focus on some different ethnic ideas of, you know, the servants that worked for the Dowson family, large German, Norwegian, Irish background. So we have some rosettes that we're serving to honor the Norwegian. We have some Swiss Bratzeli cookies. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And then we have It's literally called this in the cookbook that we pulled it from. It's called a Prairie du Chien fruitcake. And It went over well today. And the best thing about it is it's soaked in a cheesecloth, or it's wrapped in a cheesecloth that's been soaked in brandy for a week.
Oh, my gosh. Can you drive home after eating a crust like that?
Well, last year we served little snippets of the cake during tours. And when I first tried it, I was like, whoa, it actually has a punch. it's very, very good.
That's great. All right. So you serve all these great finger foods. You've got cream and jam, ham finger sandwiches. Yes. And I love that you serve molasses cookies and sugar plums. It's very seasonal. I have to say, you also have mincemeat pie, it says. Or mincemeat tarts. What is mincemeat?
Well, we do basically what's considered like a mock mincemeat. It's actually not, you know, when people think of mincemeat, they're thinking of like, gosh, what kind of meat are they using when they're doing that? And this is, you know, the mincemeat is different, like nuts and figs. So it's when you put it all together, it's where you get that mincemeat. And so ours are a mock mincemeat.
Okay.
So it's not the actual. And, you know, quite honestly, I don't know what a real mincemeat would be.
You know what? It sounds really good. Like, I like nuts. I like figs. I think it's the meat that throws me. Like, it seems like it shouldn't even be in the title, but I've always wondered what it was.
So, yes, I think it does throw people off a little bit when you have that term in there.
All right. So that's what you're serving, and it's a tea. Tell us a little bit, Susan, about the Dousman family. How did they come into prominence? I know that the leader of the family, or the patriarch, was called Hercules Dousman, but can you tell us a little bit about them and their background?
Sure. He first arrived in Prairie du Chien in the mid-1820s, working as a clerk for the American Fur Company, and comes down from Mackinac, Michigan. He's sent here by his father, Michael Dousman, and who's a major player in the fur trade as well. And coming as a clerk, working his way up, he comes to what's, you know, really a rural, the frontier of, you know, the United States at that time. But he quickly, you know, he's good with numbers, it seems. He's highly educated. We're not exactly sure where he receives his education out east, but a lot of prominent fur traders would send their children out to schools out east to become educated and then come back to work in such positions. And works his way up quickly through ranks. And when the company is organized in this part of the region, he becomes part owner of what's considered the Western outfit. But it's not the fur trade that makes his family wealthy. He just seems to have a good sense of business and timing. And while a lot of folks in his same situation go bankrupt when the fur trade goes on decline in this area, which is the late 1830s, early 1840s, he's pulling money made off of that and reinvesting. And the main investment is land speculation. He is with different gentlemen, forms the group that brings the railroad to Prairie du Chien from Milwaukee. It arrives in 1857. And so what do you do where you know the railroad tracks are going to be laid? You start purchasing land. And he owned a lot of investment properties in Prairie du Chien, different office blocks and business blocks. And so he had a lot of tenants. But then, you know, what's not talked about a lot, it's kind of one of those behind-the-scenes stories, but I'm very happy to say that it's going to come to light with a new book coming out this spring, is actually a lot of his wealth comes to his marriage to Jane Fisher Rowlett, who is the widow of his business partner in the fur trade. And, you know, as women at this time period, they're married in 1844. She doesn't, you know, once you're married, the husband takes over the property rights. Mm-hmm. And so she's very wealthy, coming from a fur trade family, brings lots of land into the marriage. Well, that's how Hercules then is able to really jumpstart his wealth. And then with start of the Civil War, he doesn't serve. He's too old to serve. His one son, Louis Dousman, is too young to serve, but they make money off of the shipment of troops. He also is owner of different Great Lakes steam boats and owns stock in steam traffic. And also his brothers, George and Talbot Chambers, Dousman, Wisconsin, is named after his brother, Talbot Chambers, Wisconsin. So they are into land speculation, they're into transportation, and that's where the wealth of the family comes from.
Wow. Great. That was excellent information. So where does the term Susan Louis or Villa Louis come from? Where does that derive from if the family were the Dousmans? Is that one of the sons was named Louis?
Yes. So okay. Hercules Louis Dousman II, that is the one son that Hercules and his wife Jane would have together. And he is born in 1848, in April of 1848. And he is named after his father, but always goes by Louis. Unless, you know, he's writing his name and signing a document, but affectionately referred to as Louis. His mother was, you know, French-Canadian. And what's interesting, I think, you know, I talked about this. This is called Villa Louis, but it's on Villa Louis Road, which I've never understood that definition here in Prairie du Chien, but always referred to as Louis. And unfortunately, Louis dies at a very young age. He is settled here in Prairie du Chien. He builds this new, wonderful, modern home, which is finished in January of 1871. He marries his wife, Nina Sturgis, in 1873. They have five children together. They really become a part of the elite St. Louis society. They move there for a period of time. Mm. But after his mother dies, they decide to really transform themselves and transform the estate here in Prairie du Chien to a horse farm. And that during that transformation is when he dies in January of 1886 at the young age of 37. Mm. And it's after the death when his widow renames the estate, the Villa Louis, after her husband.
My guest is Susan Kaye-Schlusser, who works for the Wisconsin Historical Society. She's the director of the Southwest Regional Sites, which includes Villa Louis on the beautiful Mississippi River. We're talking about an event they have coming up here this weekend and next. It's the Villa Louis Christmas Tea. And you're also doing guided tours. What before the tea, what can people expect to see on the guided tour, Susan, if they show up?
So we've changed it this year a little bit. So in the past, we featured the lovely grand piano where they would hear Christmas music coming from it. But we decided to change it up a little bit and highlight unique objects from the collection that often don't get seen or talked about. And it's actually Christmas gifts that we know were given at Christmas time from various family members. And so guests will come into the house and see the house decorated. We do know that the family was buying fresh greenery, and actually we have the receipts and bills for a very big Christmas celebration in December of 1893. And the greenery was shipped over from Milwaukee on train. Fresh fruit was ordered from Milwaukee. Some very special things were shipped over from New York. So this is a really big Christmas celebration, not only because they celebrate Christmas because they were a Catholic family, but also Virginia Dousman, the second oldest daughter, was turning 18. And this is kind of their reintroduction into Prairie du Chien society, and they decided to really do Christmas up. And so we decorate it going off of the bills and receipts, but then once you go into the home with the tour guide, you then go into the parlor and sit down, and our curator, Mary Elise Antoine, will then highlight some of these different Christmas gifts that many people have never seen before.
Wow. That sounds fantastic. The combination Christmas tea and tour is $60 per person and is open to guests ages 13 and older. Where can people find out more information, Susan?
We have both a Facebook page and our website, and our website is pretty easy. It's just www.villalouis.org.
It sounds so fun. And now, there are 12 Wisconsin Historical Society sites, and they're all amazing. If you just take a few minutes and read about them, folks, they're really a treasure that we have here in this state. Where does Villa Louis, Susan, rank in terms of popularity with the 12 sites, would you say?
So being located in the southwestern part of the state, in terms of attendance, I think we are number four behind Old World, of course, with their population center near Milwaukee, and then Circus Road, because who doesn't love a circus? And yeah, then I believe Black Point, because of their location in Lake Geneva, was also having the lake and the boat ride, and I believe our attendance is right behind them. So what's different with Villa Louis versus some of those other sites, though, is we are a National Historic Landmark. So we have landmark status, where I think Circus World has a building that has landmark status. And Villa Louis, we have three buildings that have National Historic Landmark status. So we don't have the same attendance numbers, but we really wow them with our collection. When people walk through, about 90% of what folks are seeing is original to the Dousman family. And then just the attention to detail with the restoration. And I should note, when people do come to visit us, the house looks a little different today because we are right in the middle of a $3 million restoration of the exterior. And so we just buttoned up for the year, and there is some Tyvek on the veranda. The contractor, they've been hand stripping paint off of the veranda. We'll be receiving two new roofs, tuck pointing, work on windows, some foundation work. And so it's an exciting project and an exciting investment from the Wisconsin Historical Society and the state of Wisconsin.
Fantastic. We'll have a couple more minutes with our guest, Susan K.S. Slusser. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. La-da-da-da-da. The
grossest dog that's You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Yeah, all night long, and nobody don't dance on the edge of the dark. We've got the radio on.
Welcome back. And it feels like I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Friday, closing down the week together here. Talking about some of the things that really get us excited in life. And right now we are talking with Susan K.S. Slusser, who is the Southwest Regional Sites Director for the Wisconsin Historical Society. And that includes Villa Louis. And we're going to get back to Susan in just a moment. Right now, though, a reminder, folks, this hour's keyword, text this in on your phone, and you are eligible to win $200, our daily prize, and automatically be enrolled for our grand prizes in our multi-state text to win grown-up gift list, text to win contest here at Civic Media. This hour's keyword reminder is cheer, C-H-E-E-R, C-H-E-E-R. Text that in, has to be on the app. Good luck, everybody. You'll notice, Conrad, I did not ask you to spell cheer.
Yeah, thank you. You know, that's a little tough.
It's a little struggle when you're on the radio. All right, let's get back to our guest. Susan is with us. We are talking about the guided tour and special Villa Louis Christmas tea. And that takes place today. They had their first one tomorrow and Sunday, and then the 12th, 13th, and 14th as well. If you'd like more information, go to villalouis.org. That's VILLALOUIS.ORG. So, Susan, also a shout-out to Rebecca Werner, who works very hard for the Wisconsin Historical Society and provides us with guests here periodically. Thank you, Rebecca. And you've been here before, right? Susan, you were here last year, correct?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Were we talking about Villa Louis, though, or a different site?
No, we were talking about Villa.
Okay. It must be fun for the employees. Are they employees or actors that they get to dress up in these really cool, nostalgic costumes?
They're all employees. And I think we have one, it was fun today for me. I was in the kitchen, working in the mansion in the kitchen, and I had a new staffer who just started this summer. She's 16 years old, and she was working in the kitchen with me for the first time ever, and we had a lot of fun working together. And I said she could come back and work in the kitchen anytime. And so it's fun to have someone that's interested in doing that, because working on a wood stove is not very easy when you're, you know, first getting going. And I'm sure it was probably a little intimidating to be in there with me, her boss, but we had fun, even though someone could smell that we had burnt a couple cookies that we did have to throw quickly into the snow out back. But it was a lesson learned, but we just have a lot of fun doing it. And it's fun. This is an outlet for us as well. Like I said, it's a way for us to reengage past visitors, but it's also a way for us to engage our expertise on the family and the history of Wisconsin. And it's just a lot of fun all around.
You know, it's very well said. I think Wisconsin is a great Christmas state. You know, we've got snow, we've got hills, we've got rivers and lakes, and it's just like, you know, over the river and through the woods kind of a vibe. And what you guys do at the Wisconsin Historical Society with all these Christmas events, we're very fortunate for the work that you guys do. So I appreciate you coming on, and I wish you luck with this, with the guided tour and the tea. Don't drink too much tea or eat too much of that crust that's doused with all kinds of alcohol, because that could be trouble.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Susan. Have a great night and happy holidays.
Thank you. Thank you. You too.
All right. Thanks. Check out Villa Louis, folks. VillaLouis.org. I think every time we got to do something, like we should organize like a bus trip.
Yeah.
Maybe like a couple's bus trip. A mingle. We'll get a mingle. We'll connect people. We'll set them up on dates, and they can meet and find romance over the one of the many.
There we go. There we go. You driving the bus?
I'll drive the bus.
Okay.
Metaphorically and actually. No, it's a great, they do such great work, the Wisconsin Historical Society. So check out, we've got more guests from Rebecca coming up next week too. It's so much fun to talk to these folks. Well, prediction for the game this week, Con?
Well, I think you know what I'm going to say.
Let me ask you this. I know what you're going to say, and we have talked about this a little bit. Do you think, you know, there's two games within 3 weeks. Do you think they're going to split? Do you think the Packers are going to take both games?
You know, I do believe the Packers will take both.
Wow. Is this Conrad fanboy, or is this sports journalist Conrad talking here?
I'd say a little bit of both. You know, I mean, we're just playing some really good football. I think after one of our losses, you know, they kind of like, we shouldn't have lost that game. They really turned.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw Jordan Love against the Lions on Thanksgiving. That was like, I haven't seen that Jordan Love in a while. And it was fantastic to see that. Our defense played well enough to, you know, they still scored, you know, a decent amount of points the Lions did.
Yeah.
So I expect the game to be high scoring. If we can stop the run, because that's what the Bears have been doing really well, is running the ball. If the Packers can stop them, you know, there's a chance that we could. That's how I think we win. Is, you know, we
stopping the run.
I'll stop the run.
Conrad of the Packers.
I keep doing that.
It's funny. It's weird because I don't think. Here's my issue: is Jordan Love is very good when there's no pressure on him. If you can't pressure Jordan Love, he's a great quarterback, and the Bears do not bring much of a pass rush. So I really think that's how the Packers win. And yeah, you're right. If the Bears can run the ball in the Packers, they have a chance. But yeah, I don't know. Here's where I keep going. Last year, in the last game, the Bears beat the Packers, and the Bears were a terrible team. They had an awful coach. They didn't have the line they have this year. And I still feel like the Packers should be favored. And they added Micah Parsons, so both teams got better. I don't know. It's going to be very interesting. I really have no idea what to expect, to be honest with you.
It's going to be a really fun game to watch. Yeah. That's what I know.
I hope so. So we've got Ezekiel Drews will be here, folks, after the news in the 6 o'clock hour during Act Two. He's going to tell us about this really cool film festival he founded in the Milwaukee area called the Milwaukee Independent Film Awards. Ezekiel's been here before. We don't know if he'll have the pink suit on or not, but he's a great guy and a very talented actor. We'll find out some information for those of you in the Milwaukee area where you can check out some really cool films this weekend. We've got WGBW afternoon host Eric Westfall will be here at 6:35, Mike Clemens at 7:05, and a bar band Friday night with our pal Terry Barr at 7:35 tonight. It is a jam-packed Friday. Hope you're having a wonderful evening and glad you're here, folks. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.